Blog Talk Radio.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the parts of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
Foundation, and what he was talking about is that the plan to consolidate power. Right now, in the last 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, there's been independent nations with sovereignty. Sovereignty is the ability to run yourself. And now they are consolidating power. And having a banking cartel over our country, which is the Federal Reserve, which is not federal at all, neither does it have a reserve. And that's very important, not having a reserve or not being federal. And if you check your yellow pages, the Federal Reserve is under the public pages, if it's in there at all now. So tell me, and I know this sounds like I'm trying to insult your intelligence, but why would an agency call itself Federal Reserve when it's not federal at all? Isn't that sort of a conspiracy right off the bat? Well, I don't think people actually realize that if you don't know who the owners of the corporation is who's regulating your finances, then could that be that you're owned by someone, you're slaves to someone, and sooner or later you're going to pay the piper? When we fought the British and they lost, what happened? They looked at us and said, yeah, we're going to get you one day. We're going to get you. And surely be it, the Rothschilds and all the other families of Europe decided to take a look at infiltrating, first of all, infiltrating our government bodies, and also they took a look at gaining a foothold on the international banks. And that's why President Jefferson, had so many problems because he put on his graveyard, on his grave, and I don't know, if I think it's 100% sure. I don't know if it's 90% sure. I killed the bank. And the very same bank that tried to kill him twice, it's the very same bank that shot John F. Kennedy, because Kennedy realized that the American people were being looted. And in order to take care of that, he had to decide to return the dollar bill to the gold standard. Now we're literally not backed by anything. The dollar bill is just paper. It's not even worth the paper it's written on. And pretty soon, time will tell how much that paper is worth. Okay? So John F. Kennedy, which I'll play a clip for you, was trying to get he addressed the media, and he tried to get the media to be responsible enough to tell the American people what is going on. And in order for that to happen, the media had to be moral. And they have to be responsible to the public that they're serving, just like a company will come in and clean your carpet. They didn't want to have bad business, right? So the media technically is in business to get your business. Medias are in competition with one another, who has the best information. But when those media organizations are consolidated into one, and yes, the CIA is sitting in each one of those studios telling them what to say. I call it consolidation of power. So even the socialism has already took hold of the media a long time ago, 9/11, even probably before that, but mainly 9/11, those media companies were told what to say by the CIA. And you can go check this out. Go search engine, CIA, media, what have you. Okay. And I want you to research what I say. And that's going to be very important that you do, because aware populace makes a strong populace. I said that. That's my quote. I want to play, if I can find it, at JFK. I'm going to play the first clip right now. This is JFK talking about secret societies.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
Now, he was talking about security. Now, this is the prophecy zone, so you know I got to bring up the Bible. And the Bible says that when they say peace and safety, total destruction should come upon them. In 9/11, they were always talking, even after, way after 9/11, who can keep us safe? Obama or McCain, who can keep us safe? Oh, please hold me. You know, so what he was saying is that people would take advantage of outside threat and change the legislation and rules to benefit their means to consolidate power. And that's exactly what you do. When you slap on rules to somebody, you put on bondages. And if you had a shackle on your feet, it's going to be a lot harder to travel 2 feet, let alone 10 feet, with a shackle. It's much easier to travel without it. That's why a free population or a free public is very important. A free society is very important. How is it that you can tell? The Iranian people are taking and doing what the American people should do if the government arises and tries to take an election, like Al Gore days, back in the Al Gore days, like it's back in the 20, 30 years ago when we all used to wear bell-bottoms, ladies, the Al Gore days, the man who invented the internet. But anyway, I want you to listen to the second JFK clip.
Chill of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine.
Okay, this speech by John F. Kennedy kind of matches up to me with Eisenhower's farewell address. And I'm going to play the rest of Kennedy's tape in a minute. But the secrecy of the government is enormously great. They had a secretly held congressional meeting last year I mean, it was closed door session, the first one of its, well, it was about four of them in history. Well, where they threatened Congress with martial law if they didn't pass a $700 billion package. So when Kennedy is talking, or you can even think of 9/11, when the Patriot Act was signed into law, nobody read it. Well, heck, these people are keeping they keeping the information from their own selves. How are they going to give it to us? And you really have to think, how safe are we from people of enemies inside? Both, and when I re-enlist, I go up to this mountain. When I was in Hawaii, I would go up to this mountain, Officer Bluff. I forgot what it's called. I'm getting mixed up with another place, I think. But when you go up there and you say your re-enlistment vows, you say you promise to protect the country from enemies, both foreign and domestic. And when and that should always grab people when they're hearing their own self say both foreign and domestic. You think of foreign, but you don't think of domestic. And this brings me to the spiritual side. We have enemies, both foreign and domestic. I consider the world foreign, and I consider the demonic forces domestic. You say, well, that's kind of weird. Or you can go opposite, because your enemy, your true enemy, wants to get close to you. And they know your every step. Okay? Of course, Satan has been studying mankind for years. Okay, and believe it or not, Satan is in the governments. Believe it or not, he's directing governments to make the decisions that they make. Okay, so I want to take a break from the John F. Kennedy one, and I wanted to talk about North Korea. Now, if y'all listen to any of my prior shows, you're going to know that I believe that we're close to things happening within 18 months. Part of me is thinking 3 or 4 months. I want y'all to listen to me read earlier articles.
Gates, missile interceptors on the way to Hawaii ahead of North Korea test. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said today he has ordered the U.S. military to take defensive measures should North Korea attempt to fire a ballistic missile towards Hawaii. We do have some concerns if they were to launch a missile to the west in the direction of Hawaii, Gates told reporters at the Pentagon. Gates said he has sent military ground-based mobile missile systems to Hawaii and positioned a radar system nearby. Together, the systems theoretically could detect and shoot down the North Korean missile if it came to that. Without telegraphing what we would do, I would just say we are in a good position should it become necessary to protect the Americans and the American territories, Gates said. Gates' comments came in response to a report on the, out of Japan that said North Korea may fire its most advanced ballistic missile toward Hawaii around the 4th of July. North Korea test fired a long-range missile on the 4th of July 3 years ago, but it fell seconds after liftoff and fell into the sea. While the Yuri Shiban speculated that latest Typhoon Dong 2 could fly over Japan and towards Hawaii, it said the missile would not be able to hit Hawaii main island, which are about 4,500 miles from the Korean Peninsula. A spokesman for the Japanese Defense Ministry declined to mention on the report. South Korean Defense Minister and the National Intelligence Service, the country's main spy agency, said they could not confirm it. The new missile launch, though not expected to threaten U.S. territory, would be a brazen slap in the face of the international community, which punished North Korea with new U.N. sanctions for conducting a second nuclear test on May 25th in defiance of a U.N. ban. North Korea spawned the U.N. Secretary Council resolution and threat of war and pledged to expand its nuclear bomb-making program. These threats of war, these rumors of war, you get it? We close, folks. The missile now being ready in the north is believed to be a Tungpong-2 with a range of up to 450,000 miles and would be launched from North Korea's Dongchangning site on the northwest coast of Yemen, the Nunmari newspaper said. This is wrapping up, folks. There should be wars and rumors of wars. This is coming to the point where the Bible says that it says nation should rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So that sounds like to me there's going to be about three or four fronts, maybe more, fighting all at the same time. Now that's crazy. That is crazy.
Okay, so that was me earlier. I guess I don't really need to say that was me. You guys probably know it's obvious. So, like I was saying, I believe that we're less than 18 months away from, and I use that date so I won't be considered saying, you know, being accused of being wrong, which I really don't care because I'm not a prophet. I don't believe everybody who says this is going to happen or that's going to happen thinks they're a prophet. In that case, if I say the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl next year, you guys can consider me a prophet because I'm trying to prophesy who's going to win the Super Bowl. So we're on the fast track. I believe that there are going to be other fronts opening up in the next couple of weeks where we can actually see if this is truly the time. Now, for people who believe that there is a pre-trib rapture or the rapture of the church will happen first before the seven-year tribulation period comes, and in the middle of the seven-year tribulation period, the Antichrist goes into the temple and says, "I am God," and the Bible says he is first the seventh king, and then he becomes the eighth. I believe 2012, or somewhere around 2012, is when the Antichrist goes in the temple and says, "I am God." Now, I do believe in the pre-trib rapture, so I believe that 3.5 years prior to 2012, or if it is 2012, 2013, will be the rapture of the church, or it could go to 2010 or 11. But my best guess is that everybody's looking for 2012, then he's probably come way before because he says, "I'll come at an hour that you think not." Okay? I want y'all to listen to this article about Chavez and socialism.
Chavez repeats call for Obama to embrace socialism. Moscow, June 19th. Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez has again urged President Bush to adopt socialist principles to see the United States through the ongoing economic crisis. Speaking on Thursday on his new television program, "Hello, President," Chavez said the U.S. administration has taken some interesting steps in attempting to counter the difficult crisis. He said that in Venezuela, socialism and well-trimmed state measures have helped the country save its healthy national economy and healthy national banks in contrast with other world powers. I recognize Obama's good intentions, but will repeat once again, unite with socialism. Obama joins socialism and we'll see if we can really change the world. He warned that capitalism will kill the world, which is totally the opposite of reality. In March, Chavez told the United States that socialism is its only way out of the crisis and urged Americans to seek a higher destiny and leave behind the sad role that it has been given as a murderer attacking power that is hated all around the world. Chavez, a former army paratrooper who styled himself the builder of the 21st century socialism, announced the beginning of the third phase of his Bolivian revolution earlier this year, aimed at fighting poverty, corruption, and crime, and improving literacy. And this is telling me that Chavez thinks only the government can heal wounds. The Bible says that not by flesh or the arm of man. You shouldn't worship the arm of man, and this is exactly what it is. It's a humanistic approach that only humans can solve human problems. Chavez, a former, Chavez believed that the first two stages of Bolivian revolution were completed successfully in 1999 and through 2006, and in 2007 to 2009. Since 1998, the Venezuelan authorities have carried out a large-scale nationalization campaign targeting major domestic companies and key sectors of the economy. Okay, I'll stop there.
I have a beef with people saying that this is a Christian nation. I'm a Christian myself, and I'm not judgmental. However, in order to get to heaven, God wants us to get rid of these bondages and strongholds in our lives. And the Bible says, "Who the Son sets free is free indeed." So I'm stating the point that I believe that we once were a Christian nation. If you saw me coming out of a club and I said to you I was a Christian and you saw me a week later coming out of a club, what would you say? You call me a hypocrite. Well, my actions didn't speak. And even Jesus talked about first clean out the inside of the cup and then you worry about the outside of the club. Well, if we were a Christian nation, I would be able to turn on my TV and find hundreds of Christian programs. The Bible says our eyes are floodgate. Whatever we look at or what a man think of, so is he. So when you're listening to CNN report on drugs and kids taking Ritalin and moms taking Ritalin and they're promoting Ritalin, or a family that promotes abortion. There are families out there who think everybody, they pass it down generationally, that everybody in the family got to have an abortion as part of the thing. Well, if you don't want it and it's breaking your convenience, put it on the altar. Get rid of it. Okay? So when you say we're a Christian nation and you can't talk about Christianity at work, or you get people who want to come in and invade a Christian radio program and say, well, we're going to sue you, or even a church, we're going to sue you because you won't put Christian programs on. And the Christian program, or the programs that they want to put on, is foul and vulgar, and it's completely the opposite of what we think. Why is Christians hated so much if this is a Christian nation? When was the last time you went out the house and somebody said, hey, man, let me tell you about Jesus? If this is a Christian nation, you wouldn't be able to get out the house good and go to work. Working like you work the night shift. Before you get to work, 20 people would have probably asked you, do you know Jesus? If this was a true Christian nation. Okay? Let's play this tape for Obama.
Where we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. At least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers.
Now, I can 100% agree with him, especially the last part when he said non-believers. I mean, I believe that if you can go outside your house and go to the nearest grocery store and ask somebody, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? They look at you like you crazy. Not because they know where they're going, because they find that you're wasting their time. Okay, so I leave it at that.
We love Christians, I'm telling you. We're just gay and people don't accept us that much.
Yeah.
So, let me listen to Eisenhower. We're going to go on and listen to Eisenhower. Ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizen can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Okay, that was President Eisenhower giving his farewell address, warning future societies, future cultures, about the military-industrial complex, KBR and the other companies out there in the Middle East. When I was out there, they had their own monopoly, sort of selling materials to the military. And I believe I have a word for it. It's called looting. And if you read James chapter 5, it talks about the rich man, go to and howl for your misery has come upon you. For you have reaped up treasure for the last day. So I want to say to the people out there who are listening to this radio program, I won't going to be basing this program off of prophecy. But I have a program called Common Salvation, and that program is going to be based off of breaking bondages. I hate to get off track, but in order for us to go to heaven, we have to go God's way, and that's according to the Word of God. And if you look at this world and how complex it is, you know that the Maker had to send some book down here, something to say, if he's this intelligent, that he can make all the plants, different types of plants, different types of birds, different types of animals, and make the elements and all these things, then it is truly my belief that he would send a manual down here. Now, according to the Bible, there is an enemy. And if there's an enemy, then there's resistance. So if the Bible, if someone says, okay, this is the Bible and this is what I believe in, and then they fall, then the people who are watching this person fall will go and sort of sound just like the Bible when it says, well, he went out to build, but he didn't finish the job. Okay, so what are Christians called then? Hypocrites. Okay, so God wants us to understand that there is a battle in the mind. The mind is the battlefield. And he doesn't want us to become casualties. Now, it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the laws of God. I will also forget thy children. That means that you are passing it down to your children. I used to be an alcoholic. God broke the bondages. But for me to tell you, well, you can't judge me. I'll be okay. God will take me into heaven. God says no alcoholic will enter the kingdom of God. So I'm not going to try to prove your point. If you come up to me and say, you can't go to heaven as an alcoholic, so I continue to drink because I want to prove your point. That I want to prove against your point, excuse me, that I can still go to heaven by drinking or living my life the way I want to live it. Now, God loves the person but hates the alcohol. He loves the person but hates the drugs. He loves the person, but hates the thievery. You see? So God wants to separate us from those things that are keeping us from having a Christian life. Case closed. So when Christianity becomes tolerant of people's vices, now I can sympathize with you because God normally sends an alcoholic to an alcoholic. I can sympathize with you, but I am not to rub your sores and says, oh, poor baby, because I know that who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's an act of the will. You say, well, no, it isn't. God breaks the yeah, he breaks the bondages, but you can only give him so. If you give, what did John say? I must decrease that he must increase. So in order that I may be broken of the bondages of sin, of drugs, of alcohol, of gossip, of being a hypocrite. If God will, God has to, first of all, the scripture I read to you, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They also reject knowledge. That's rejecting knowledge. So if I have the knowledge inside of me that, hey, I'm not supposed to be an alcoholic. I ain't supposed to be drinking a 40 ounce every 5 minutes. I used to be able to drink 640 ounces in one day. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just trying to make a point. God broke that. But the knowledge that I had to come from the Word of God. It's funny how so many people out there, and it's probably a few people out there right now listening to me, who can tell me everything about what's right and what's wrong, how about judging somebody else, but you don't pick up the Bible. So how are you going to know? God said that though you're, he says, let me read it because I got this, I got my light on, and it's kind of shadowing the book. Okay, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, imagine you having a, you're going to go to the prom, and your baby sister comes outside, she has red juice on, you're not really paying attention to it, and waste all over you. I mean, just literally waste all over you. Well, imagine someone coming to your rescue, taking the dress, and in about 5 minutes, wringing it out, and it comes out white as snow. Now, imagine blood. Okay, so the blood represents, the red represents sin. It's not blood, it's red. Red represents sin. Now, I'm going to say a person who is a homosexual cannot enter the kingdom of God unless they be separated from the homosexuality because God loves you. But just like I was an alcoholic, he cannot have me enter heaven without separating the two. He must separate me from my sin. Without holiness, you will not see the Lord. Meaning, not my holiness, but without accepting his holiness, accepting his righteousness, I cannot see God. Okay? So I just wanted to clear that up. Okay? Now, I wanted to talk about abortion right quick. I want you to listen to this little girl right here.
What if I told you that right now someone was choosing if you were going to live or die? What if I told you that this choice was based on what you could or couldn't do, what you've done in the past, or what you would do in the future? And what if I told you you could do nothing about it? Fellow students and teachers, thousands of children are right now in that very situation. Someone is choosing, without even knowing them, whether they are going to live or die. That someone is their mother, and that choice is abortion. Every day, 116,000 children are dying through abortion. 116,000. That means that 5,000 children would die every hour. All those lives, gone. All that potential, gone. And all that hope and future, gone. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, it's not really killing, after all, a fetus is a child, right? Why do we think that just because a fetus can't talk or do what we do, it isn't a human being yet? The word fetus comes from the Latin word, meaning young one or young child. Some babies are born after only 5 months. Is this baby not human? We would never say that, yet abortions are performed on 5-month-old fetuses all the time. Or do we only call them humans if they're wanted? No, fetuses are definitely humans, knit together in their mother's womb by their wonderful creator, who knows them all by name. Some people might say that since abortion's legal now, it doesn't matter.
The Bible says, Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before the alcoholic was in his mother's womb, God knew him or her. Before the homosexual was in his womb, God knew him or her. Before the drug addict was in his mom's womb, God knew him or her. God does not want us to stay in the same state. Brothers and sisters, future brothers and sisters, unsaved, saved, whatever you want to look at it, we are on the last count of time. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not famous. I'm not a prophet. But God giving me the eyes to see, just like he can give you the eyes to see, that we are weeks, if not months, away from Jesus Christ intervening back in history to take his church out. The Bible says judgment should begin in the house of the Lord. Why did he say that? He said that because he will come and get his church first. We will stand in front of Jesus at the Bema Seat and give an account of what we did down here. Those babies that were aborted, if you aborted a baby and you're out there, those babies that were aborted, you will see them again. But you have to make heaven yourself. So if it's bringing sorrow to your heart and you regret having those abortions, just think, you will be able to see this baby again. But you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. The Spirit of God comes inside of you. You must believe that God, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and sits at the right hand of the Father. You must live your life daily for him, not just on Sundays. It doesn't work that way. If I can be a Dallas Cowboy and only went to the football games, I wouldn't last one play. If we treated God the way we treated the world, we'd be good Christians. Those people who are involved and are acting wouldn't miss a practice for nothing. People involved in ballet, people wouldn't miss a TV show, heck. Youngling wrestlers, they wouldn't miss it for nothing. Like clockwork. But we need to live our lives 100% for God daily. He says, what type of person who does not look at the cost of making a building, look at the structure, look at the cost of making this building, and then go back and say, well, I'm not going to build a building. You got to count the cost. It doesn't cost you to get to heaven, don't get me wrong. It's free. But as far as living for Christ daily, he's coming back for a church that is living for him daily. The heart is given to him. Jesus is first in their lives. Instead, they got people out there, all they think about is putting in weeds in somebody's hair. They got people out there, the only thing they think about is what kind of mag tires is going to go on the car. They got people out there wondering who they're going to get to do their taxes next year. That stuff absorbs people. But there's no one, there's people out there thinking what kind of house we're going to get since there's so many economic problems. Can we still get a house? It absorbs them. It's okay to do those things, but who are we fooling? This is what you do. You gotta say this. I'm not really telling y'all this. I'm just being sarcastic. Run you some super, super, super hot bath water. So hot, you peel your skin off and get in it. Do that once a month. And you scream to the top of the lungs, and you won't want to go to hell. Because hell is a trillion times worse than that. So how you know you haven't been there? Thank God. But I'm thinking hell is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what Jesus said. Okay. The person that is being aborted . If you look at the glass half, I'm strictly against abortion. I'm so against abortion, it's ridiculous. But for a person that has to be born in this world and then make the decision, oh, I'm going to serve God or not, that's a big decision. I am scared to death for some of the newborn babies have to come in this world and live for. And I don't think they're going to go that far no more because time is up. But for a kid that was born 18 years ago and have to come and make the decision, or should I serve God or not? This is going to be mean to say, but heck, if I make the wrong decision and go to hell, should I wish my mom would have aborted me? Now, that's mean to say, and I hate abortion. But I'm just saying, sometimes you got to think of the glass half full sometimes, because the only thing you can get out of abortion, there's nothing. What positive can you get out of abortion? Nothing. The only positive that you get out of abortion is this lady that had an abortion, and now she has time on her hands. And that's not a positive either, because she just put her baby on the altar. So if you're the type of person, an optimistic person who always look at the glass half full, that's the only thing you can go with is, heck, they don't have to come to this world. They go straight to heaven. It's you who have to make that decision. Mama, daddy, whoever has abortion. Grandma for talking the girl into it. Mama for talking your daughter into it, passing it down generation to generation. That's a generational curse. God forgives. Okay. Every time I say this is going to be the prophecy zone and I'm going to just talk about prophecy, I go and talk about stuff that I was talking about on my other program. Okay. I want y'all to listen to Miss Alex Jones. Tape right now, and it's kind of like off course, and it really don't have anything to do with what I was talking about, but let's just hear what he got to say.
Our team is in Austin, Texas, catching up with radio talk show host and documentary filmmaker Alex Jones. Alex, thanks for sitting down with us today. My first question is, several months after Obama stepped in as president of the United States, you make a documentary calling him a deceiver. Why?
He said he wouldn't hire lobbyists. All he's done is hire high-powered lobbyists at every level of government. And he's handed the country over to the oligarchs, the international bankers, to loot the nation, according to Bloomberg Financial, of $9.7 trillion. He has lied about leaving Iraq. He said he would take the troops out immediately. Now he says 16 to 23 months, and he's going to keep them there. He's increased the troops by 30,000, doubling them in Afghanistan. He's bombing Pakistan. Barack Obama promised that he would only raise taxes on those making over $250,000 a year. He's now announced, Wall Street Journal, he's going to change all the loopholes to tax all Americans, taking away our waivers we have for our homes, taking away the exemptions. The lies are incredible. Everything Obama has said has been a lie.
In your work, you talk a lot about the New World Order. What is the New World Order?
The New World Order is a private group of ultra-rich bankers who are offshore. They're above the U.S., they're above Iran, Russia, Venezuela. They are international, and they are creating a network of international laws to regulate and control and dominate nations. They openly state that they want to deindustrialize countries. They want to bankrupt the population. They want a poor population that has to go to the government for handouts. They want a domesticated population. So the New World Order is what every other dictatorship has called for in history. There are people who want a planetary dictatorship run by a group of plutocratic financiers. It is.
Okay, that was Alex Jones from the Alex Jones Show talking about a New World Order and talking about how the oligarchy of a few men who really run the world. And the reason why I played that at that time because these guys believe in population control, believe it or not. If you look at your foods, manufactured food products, those things have all kinds of chemicals in it. Look at your diet soda. Has aspartame in it. Now, why would they put aspartame in diet soda? Well, these people are trying to kill us off. And they're already trying to kill us off by starting World War III. And they believe that we're useless eaters, or we are here for just to eat up all the food, and that's it. So they want to hoard it all to themselves. And that is absolutely crazy. It really is. I want to play this drill tape. I don't know how long this is going to last, but let me look at the play this.
Kennedy, a rescue worker with the National Urban Search and Rescue, which is part of FEMA.
We're currently one of the first teams that was deployed to support the city of New York for this disaster. We arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. And not until today did we get a full opportunity to work the entire site.
Now, this person just, I stopped that on purpose, but this person just said that they arrived. This is 9/11. 9/11 happened on Tuesday. They just said they arrived on Monday night. For what? Okay, for what? Why would you, okay, unless you are Nostradamus or some crystal ball, why would you arrive? Now listen to it again. Let me play it one more time.
Kennedy, a rescue worker with the National Urban Search and Rescue, which is part of FEMA.
We're currently one of the first teams that was deployed to support the city of New York for this disaster. We arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. And not until today did we get a full opportunity to work the entire site.
To be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. Today we were running an exercise.
Okay, so once again, they arrived Monday, and the terrorist attack happened on Tuesday. There is a drill coming. Well, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure something's going to happen. They call it going live, and that is when the government runs a drill. And then during the drill, to cover up their butts, they go live. 9/11 had a drill at the same time. They went live. Now, what does that have to do with what does that have to do with abortion? Well, these same people run the world. They're powerful enough to pull off 9/11. Then they're powerful enough for population control. And I'm trying to get you to understand that abortion has to do with population control, okay? So with that being said, what does this all have to do with prophecy zone? Well, Jesus is coming back pretty soon. Now, if you look at Revelation, there's a lot of deaths in Revelation. Before it's all done, half the population of the world is dead. By what? Pestilence? Well, genetically engineered inside of a laboratory, the swine flu. They're going to mix it. If you see an earthquake go off in the next couple of weeks, is it an earthquake machine? It sounds crazy, but they have these things. If you see a UFO and they fake it and they say that the rapture didn't really happen and we're sending up UFOs, there's UFOs all over the sky. Why is it perfect timing? I mean, who did it? Just like if a president gets shot. And then they come up with theories like the grassy knoll, one bullet, one man theory. Or 19 hijackers hit a building. And then if we punch in Tower 7, go to YouTube video and punch in Tower 7 and watch that. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Hey, welcome my brothers and sisters to the Common Salvation Ministry.